Father, bless these words to our hearts. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 9. And starting in verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. There are seven times when the Word of God tells us to be of good cheer. All of them are dreadful. Kind of strange. The first one was the man sick with the palsy. Now, the palsy there was literal paralysis. But it is this picture of what happens to people in the spiritual capacity. They become paralyzed. Why do people become paralyzed? For numerous reasons, but this man had a specific reason for becoming paralyzed. Because his sins had paralyzed him. Now, this was not an unbeliever. This was a believer. What is sin? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. See, people think about sin as though it is some terrible, wicked action, and certainly those are a type of sin. But they don't think about the subtleties. You see, there is no difference between one sin and another. You violate one point of the law, you violate all 430 some odd points of the law. People always think Ten Commandments. No, I'm afraid not. It was a lot bigger than that. But that just defines sin. Sin is whatever is not of God, whatever is not of faith. That is sin. This is why it's so important to hear the Word of God properly and to have proper preaching of the Word of God, because that faith comes from preaching, from the Word, from a preacher. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Unfortunately, there's a lot of well-intentioned believers who are walking around apart from faith. And the reason is because they're not properly hearing. They are, in fact, living in sin. Although they don't think of it because it's not outward and it's not flagrant. But whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, the word lying there, the man was brought sick of a palsy lying on the bed. And in the original language, it's biblimenon. And it's in the accusative singular masculine participle in the perfect passive. And it's a form of the word balo. And what that means, the accusative form is the form that limits the action of the verb. It's putting a condition on this. The participle can either function as an adjective or as a verb. So it is descriptive, it is an action at the same time. It is an action and its condition. The passive voice says that the subject receives of the action of the verb. The perfect tense says that this was completed in the past in time and has present continuing results. So what does that all mean? The word balo means to throw or let go of a thing without caring where it falls. This is what it means. That means when I walk apart from faith, I cause myself to be let go. And it's God who does the letting go. I cause myself to be let go, and I will fall where I will. And I will stay there lame. Now, a lot of people can understand where that would happen. Perhaps a person chooses to live in immorality or some kind of other outward sin. It can also happen on the inside. It can also happen in a religious context. The Pharisees lived in sin and they stayed where they fell. But they were good and religious. They practiced the law. They knew all the points. They were just so right. Except for one thing, they didn't know God. See, they had no faith. When it came right down to it, it was the Pharisees, when they had the opportunity to choose Christ or to choose a thief, they chose the thief. Right? They chose the thief. It was the Pharisees who said, we want the thief. Crucify Christ. The religious crowd still does the same thing. How do they do? What do you mean we do this? How do they do it? They listen to gossip. They listen to accusations. By the way, Satan is the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12:10. So whose ministry is it that you're fellowshipping with? Is it that of an accuser? You see, there is something called sin, and it's not what we naturally think of it. Oh, that is a part of it, but it's much more. It's whatsoever is not of faith, which comes by hearing, which comes by the word, which comes by a preacher. Am I saying that reading or private meditation is useless? No. It builds content. It doesn't build faith. Content is good and it's necessary. It's not the same as faith. But anyway, when that happened, and this is a man who got himself into this position, this is not a man who had unfortunate circumstances get him there. It was through his own decisions. It was through his own wrong relationship to the Word of God that he became lame. What happened? He fell where he stayed. And then his friends brought him. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, whose faith did Jesus see? He saw the faith of his friends. He did not see the faith of that man. See, in Ephesians chapter 6, the shield of faith is a shield that covers two. I can have things happen in my life because of another person's faith. How is that? Because it's a shield that covers two. My faith can cover you and your faith can cover me. And if I can no longer carry on because of whatever may have happened, even if it is my own fault, and usually it is, but if I can't carry on, I need another person's faith. And that faith is built by the Word. And the Word of God says, be of good cheer. And the word cheer there is thersai. And it's the present imperative. That means, do this once in time and it will have continuing effects. And it's an imperative form. That means this is a command. Jesus is commanding, be of good cheer. But it's not just cheer, it also means courage. Be of good cheer, have courage. Your sins are forgiven you. Now, thy sins are forgiven is actually just one word in the Greek. It's apathai, it's the aorist present passive indicative. Aorist means that it has been completed in the past with no mention or concept of time. Why? Because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world in Revelation 13:8. The Lamb was slain outside of time. This is why when we talk about the finished work of Christ, this is why when we talk about the work that God did in covering me and removing my sins, this is why it's always in the aorist tense, because it did not happen in time, therefore it cannot be related to time. It originally happened in eternity and finally in time had a practical manifestation. But it took place in eternity. My sins were cleansed from the foundation of the world. Why? Because that's when the Lamb was slain. Be of good cheer. You have been forgiven. And that word forgiven doesn't just mean from the foundation of the world. Certainly that is a component of it, but it means to have your sins removed. Your sins have been removed from you. Be of good cheer. Oh, you may be lame because of sin, but your sins have been removed from you. So how do you start to walk if you are lame? You receive. How do you start to see if you are blind? You receive. How do you hear? You receive. Hearing comes by the Word. Seeing comes through the faith. Right? Faith is the evidence in Hebrews 11:1 of things hoped for and the substance of realities unseen. The substance of what? Substance of something that is real. I may not see it, but it is real. I can't see the air, but it is real. I can't see the things that I have faith in, but they are real and they eventually become tangible. By the way, God is a very practical God. God is not just some pie in the sky guy up there telling me what to do. God is a God who is intimately involved in my life and who will provide for me the things that I need. You know what I love? I love when it came time to pay the taxes and Jesus told Peter, go catch a fish. And in the fish was a coin. This was a real coin. This was a tangible result. This was not some pie in the sky theology thing. No, this was reality and God is real. This was reality and was manifested in Peter's life and it's manifested in our lives. And anybody who responds to God, it is manifested in their life. It is reality. This man, sick with the palsy, was walking apart from reality. It's his son. He was a believer. He was a believer. This was a born-again believer who had backslidden, fallen into sin, and become paralyzed. And he probably didn't fall into overt sin. Doesn't say anything about overt sin. He probably fell into religious sin. A form of godliness that denies its power. In other words, he tried just like Cain, to be pleasing to God apart from God's provision. The only provision that I have to be pleasing to God is the blood of Christ. However, when the Holy Spirit indwells me and my heart starts to fellowship with the heart of God, the Word of God comes in, takes over my frame of reference, and God's life is produced in me, and I have God's life. It is possible, and not only possible, it is the plan for every person to have the life of God in them now. To have that fullness of life now. To have that satisfaction now. You said, be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Whenever you mess it up, be of good cheer. Christ died. And while we were yet sinners, while we were His enemies, He died for us. While we were in Romans chapter 5, we talked about this a little last week, Romans chapter 5. While we were yet sinners, He commended His love towards us. That word commended means He took it and He put it unto me. While I was yet a sinner. Yet a sinner, still in the midst of my sin, God took His love and He put it unto me. And that's where He loved me. That's how He turned me. See, God does not draw me with His threats, with His anger. God does not draw me with negativity. God does not draw me by telling me to get my act together. You know how God draws me? With His everlasting love and with His loving kindness. The goodness of God brings people to repentance in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. The goodness of God brings people to repentance. When I get to know the irresistible love of God, when I get to know how much and how deeply and how intensely I am loved by the one who formed me with His hands, then I want nothing else. Nothing else will do. That's what I want. In Matthew 14, in verse 24, this is the second time that Jesus says, be of good cheer. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter said unto Him, answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto Thee on the water. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. See, this is a situation where we are being led by God. Earlier in the chapter, God is the one who sent them into the boat. He told them, get in the boat, go over there. They got in the boat and they went. And in the fourth watch, which was somewhere between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, the night was divided. It started at 6 o'clock in the evening and it was divided into 3-hour sections, and there were four of them. The fourth watch was between 3 and 6 in the morning. They saw Jesus on the sea. Now that storm had been raging all night. He was walking in the midst of it. He led them right into a storm. He knew it was coming and they were afraid. You see, a lot of times you're going to be following God, and God, you're going to be responding to Him, and you're going to be completely obedient to Him, and you're going to be walking right before Him, and all of a sudden the storm comes. And you're afraid, and it's like, what is this, God? There's a storm. And God says, yes, I know. The thing is, though, where was Christ? Christ was not in the boat. Christ was in the storm. And when Peter saw Him, he said, Lord, if this is You, beckon me to come out there. I'll go out in the storm with You. And Jesus said, okay, come. And He did. And He walked on the water, and after a little while, He started to sink. But you know, the first thing that happened was when Jesus saw they were afraid, what did He do? He immediately, the Word of God says, immediately said to them, don't be afraid. It is Me. He told them exactly where the trial was coming from. It was coming from God. And when He saw them, and in Mark chapter 6, He almost passed by them. When He saw them, Peter said, Lord, if it's You, tell Me to come out with You. And He did. And He came out in the middle of the storm. And He started to sink. Why did He sink? A lot of believers say, oh, you hear this in pulpits all the time. Oh, impetuous Peter. Oh, Peter doubted. What a failure. Peter is one of my favorite people in the Bible. That failure, Peter walked on water. I've never walked on water, have you? No, that failure, Peter walked on water. That's a pretty good deal. I wouldn't mind being a failure like Peter. I wouldn't mind walking on water. Not that I particularly want to try. But if it came right down to it, and that's where God was. See, God will often send you into a situation where you just don't get it. And there's a storm. And you feel like you're going to die there. And God says, don't be afraid. This is Me. And I get out on the water. And I start walking. And I walk through the trial. And I don't stop in the trial. I walk right through the trial. That's how we deal with trials. We walk through them. I walk through the trial until I get to Christ. Until I have that rich fellowship with Him. And what happened? All of a sudden He starts looking around and there's the storm and He starts to sink. And immediately, doesn't say it took any time at all. He didn't actually sink. He just started to sink. Immediately God grabbed him. And He said to him, Peter, you're a man who has some faith. Why didn't you use the faith that you had? People think it was a rebuke. No, it wasn't a rebuke. God identified what Peter had, and He identified for Peter how to continue walking on water. See, Peter, you have a little bit of faith. Use the faith that you have. And what happened? He started walking on water again. He never did sink. He never did go under. God wouldn't let him. Doesn't matter what trial comes into my life. Doesn't matter what happens. I'm not going under. And you know what? Either are you. If you're a born-again believer, you're not going under. God's not going to let you. He wasn't in the boat. He was in the storm. And He was walking on water. God said, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. It's Me. Be of good cheer. When those trials come, have good courage. It's God who brought them. He's not going to let you drown in them. In John chapter 16, verse 33, the Word of God says, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace in the world. Ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, as a believer, if you are fruitful, there are two things that will happen. The world will hate you. and you're going to get persecuted. If a believer is not being persecuted, I wonder why not. People are so shocked when somebody says something negative about a believer. I'm shocked when somebody doesn't. Why? Because they hated Christ, they're going to hate us. Trouble is, they're going to hell and I'm going to heaven. By the way, any time the cross enters, you're going to have one of two responses. You will either submit to the cross or you will reject to the cross. Reject the cross. And the cross is not just this ascetic self-denial thing. No, the cross is the life of God being produced in me. See, after the cross came the resurrection. Jesus only stayed on the cross for 3 hours. After the cross came the resurrection. I pick up my cross and that's where my life begins. Not ends, but begins. See, my natural life never did do anything for me. Got me in trouble. Didn't do anything for me though. The life of God took me to places I would have never dreamed. See, my life starts at the cross. If you pick up a cross and you become a fruitful believer with real life, real purpose, real vision, real word, real Holy Spirit in your life, the world will not like you. Why? Because they didn't like Him. You pick that up, be of good cheer. Why? Because God is there. See, He has overcome the world. Oh, these people may think they're all that in a bag of chips right now, but He has overcome them. It doesn't matter. I have never seen one single time when an accuser succeeded. No weapon that is formed against you can prosper. Why not? Because Satan's already been defeated. He's a crushed head fool. He's already been defeated. I have the victory already. I don't wait for it. It's mine now. I just take it. If you reckon yourself, believe on this, you are dead indeed unto self and alive unto Christ. I die only once. If I've died to self already, then the only thing I can do is live to Christ. Just believe it. I don't have to pick up cross. I don't have to die to myself. I'm already dead. It's a done deal. I have to start believing it. This is where believers get in trouble. They don't believe. Why don't they believe? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. How shall they hear unless they have a preacher? They don't believe. So they grope around in the dark as though they're trying to get somewhere and they never actually wind up getting anywhere. And they call it Christianity. That's not Christianity. That doesn't resemble Christianity. You know what that is? That's somebody groping around in the dark. No. Jesus said, "My word is a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet. There is no darkness in God." Jesus said, "I show you my will before I do it." In Isaiah 42, "I show it to you before it comes to pass so you know it's me." Jesus said in Isaiah 43, verse 17, "I'll give you streams in the desert." You have streams in the desert? Or do you just have a desert? If you don't have streams in the desert, maybe there's a little bit of the word lacking. You see, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've given you a provision. There is a way to get fed. There is a way to get built up. There is a way to become an overcomer. There is a way to be victorious. There is a way to be satisfied. I have overcome the world. When the Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3 went into the furnace, I love what they said. They said to the king in verse 17, this was King Nebuchadnezzar who ordered everybody to worship his gods. And the penalty for not doing so was the death penalty. You were thrown in the furnace. The Hebrew boy said to the king, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fire, from the burning fiery furnace." It's a burning and a fiery furnace. "And He will deliver us out of the hand, out of thine hand, O king." King, by the way, my God is bigger than you are. It doesn't really matter much of a difference what you do. My God's going to deliver me out of your hand, and I don't care who you think you are. Why? Because God has overcome the world. Be of good cheer. What happened? He threw them into the furnace. He took his best soldiers and he had them thrown into the furnace. And they fall down in the furnace, the Bible said. They fell down and the furnace was turned 7 times as hot as it normally would be. It was so hot that the people standing outside the furnace were consumed by it. They were killed by it. And the Hebrew boys got up and started walking around and the king didn't believe his eyes. The king looks inside the fire and there's 4 men. When 3 went in, there were 4 standing there walking around and 3 came out and they didn't even smell like smoke. The only thing that happened was their bondage got burned away. See, it doesn't matter what the persecution does. It is there for my promotion. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to throw my way. It is there for my promotion. It is there for my... What happened to the Hebrew boys after that? He promoted them in Babylon. The king promoted them. And then he made a decree that the God of those Hebrew boys was the God that was to be worshipped. He didn't worship them before. He sure did after that. Can you imagine if you saw somebody being thrown into a furnace and they're walking around and there's one more there? And the king recognized God as being the fourth man. Because he was there. The world is looking unto our lives how we respond in the furnace because they're looking for the fourth man. Are we going to show them to them? Or are we going to say, ooh, the furnace is hot. They didn't even smell like smoke. In John chapter 15 and verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. You know, this is a Christ who shed his blood because he loved you. I think we take the love of God and we relegate it to a bumper sticker cliche. But it's the greatest truth of all eternity. God loves you. Just as you are, right where you are, God loves you. God, who created the universe, loves you. It's not a bumper sticker cliche. It is that which motivated this God, who could have just wiped everything out if he wanted to. To go to a cross, be mocked, be beaten, be flogged. And the flogging was not pretty. It's a cat of nine tails. 39 times, 40 times was fatal. Have an old tree put on his back. That open back. And march it down the street where everybody could see and mock. And then they, just to add extra pain, they nailed him. Crucifixion was by tying, not by nailing. This God loves you. It was supposed to be me on the cross, not him. He wasn't guilty, I was guilty. He was innocent, I was not. This God loves you. This is the God who says, if the world hates you, don't worry about it. It hated me first. You know the religious crowd would still crucify Christ? You know how I know that? Because they still do. How do they do it when they attack another believer? When they listen to gossip? When they judge? When they are anything other than loving with the love of God? I said, don't worry about it. They did it to me first. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not Him that sent me. Don't be surprised when it happens. It happened to Christ, it's going to happen to you. By the way, those rewards, there is one reward that we haven't mentioned. It's reigning with Christ. Reigning with Christ comes only one way, by suffering with Him. They that suffer with Christ will reign with Him. 2 Timothy. They that suffer with Christ will reign with Him. Like I said, I'm not surprised when persecution comes. I'm surprised if it doesn't come. That's when I get nervous and say, what's going on? What's wrong here? So many believers are surprised when persecution comes. You know why? Because they don't know. They don't know. They don't. The only soldier who's never shot at is the one who's doing no shooting. The one that's not actually involved in the war. They don't know. Acts chapter 23. Paul was in Jerusalem. And he was in Jerusalem by mistake. He did not belong there. The elders in his church said, don't go there. The Holy Spirit witnessed to them it was not right. Paul went anyway. There were some bad consequences to that. Paul got arrested that time in Jerusalem. And when he got arrested there, things got a little bit hairy. The Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees started attacking him. Now, Paul was a clever guy because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection and the Pharisees did, and the scribes were from the Pharisees. He said to the Pharisees, I'm getting attacked because I believe in the resurrection. And then the Pharisees started having it out with the Sadducees instead of focusing on Paul. Now, there was a group of religious types who decided they were going to kill Paul. There were 40 of them, and they made an oath that they weren't going to eat until they killed him. And they had set it up to kill him, and Paul got wind of this, and God said to Paul, be of good cheer. In verse 11, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so thou must also bear witness of me in Rome. See, even if I make a mistake, even if my mistake brings me to a place where it adds to my persecution, God says, do not worry about it. Be courageous. Be of good cheer. I still have a purpose for you. That purpose has not gone away. I'm still going to be faithful to you even when you're not faithful to me. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. It's not my unbelief that will nullify God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness will never be nullified. Be of good cheer. Paul did it himself. He made a mistake. But you know what? In Psalm 68, the issues of death, the escapes of death, and death is a geographical border. The issues of death belong to the Lord. Every time I escape from death, it belongs to the Lord. And one time I will not escape, and that belongs to the Lord too. And it cannot happen any earlier or later than God has foreordained. He knows the number of my days. Be of good cheer. Nothing can happen to you unless God allows it. Paul, I still have a purpose. Be of good cheer. In Acts 27, Paul was being taken to Rome. There was a shipwreck. Paul was being taken to Rome. And Paul said to them, guys, I think we're going to have a hard time with this storm. We ought to do something about it. Let's wait it out. Because they saw a storm coming. And the captain said, no, we are going. And Paul said, no, we really ought to wait it out. And the captain said, no, we are going. And the storm started to take the ship. And God said to Paul in Acts 27 and verse 23, or Paul said to them, excuse me, for there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that shall sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. You see, you may be in a position where you were right, You may be in a position where everything is going wrong before you, because you were right, they were wrong, they didn't listen, and now you're in trouble. God says, be of good cheer. Don't worry about it. My purpose for you is going to be carried out regardless of what anybody else does. My purpose for you is not affected by other people's decisions. My plan for you was set in eternity. There is a plan specifically for your life, and it has been set, it is in motion, and I am the keeper of it. Be of good cheer. God's plan cannot be turned. Doesn't matter what I do. God may discipline me, God may chastise me, but God knew it from the beginning of the world. He knew every decision I would make. And He built a plan around those decisions. God said, my plan for you will come to pass. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid because something went wrong. God has a plan and God has a purpose. And in that purpose, God will cause things to come to pass on your behalf. Be of good cheer. Be courageous. Don't be frustrated by other people's failures. By the way, don't be frustrated by your own failures. God still has a plan. Be of good cheer. When these things happen in Philippians chapter 4:11, I simply stay content in the state that I am. Why? Because when I am content in the state that I am, then God has room to work for me. In other words, I stand still and I know that He is God. I don't worry. I don't get nervous. It may be tribulation. It may be persecution. It may be attacks. It may be accusations, false or true. It may be something I've done. It may be something somebody else has done. I don't worry. I have courage because I have faith and I know in whom I have it. And I'm of good cheer because I know that God will come through for me. No matter what happens, God will come through for me. No matter who I am or what I've done, God will always come through for me. And by the way, He'll come through for you. Amen?